Well, guys, we heard that prophetic word and this morning, and I think it was very significant. As I shared with you, that the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about the word new. And this whole month, we are going to unpack new. What does it mean for me? Where does it position me? What are the steps that I take to enter into new? How many of you like new? You know, not everybody. You mean, of course, we all love new. How many of you likes a new house? Oh, maybe I said that prophetically. New house. How many of you like a new car? You know, woo, I mean, there is something. Come on, let's be honest. There is something very exciting about new. Amen? There is something very exciting. Now, if it is exciting in the natural, let me make this clear. If it is exciting in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? You've got to understand that any principle of life, any spiritual law that is operated or manifests in the natural, if it is good in the natural, it is always 1,000 times better, actually unlimited times better in the spiritual. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are unlocking something amazing within our hearts, within our minds. You are unlocking a belief, Lord, in you, the power and the strength of new things. I thank you, Lord, that it is a new day for us as a people. It is a new season for us. And I thank you, Father, that it is a new time for us as well. That in every way, Lord, we want to open up our hearts and our minds. We want to open up ourselves to all the newness that you have for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's hit that clip. Thanks, Al. Amen. Yes, we are. A new day, a new season. And I believe that this clip is a prophetic word for so many. Because I know in my heart that God puts a lot more inside of us than we often allow to come. In fact, that we almost always allow to come out. And for whatever particular reason, the enemy has a manner in which he uses circumstances, uses life, uses so many different things, uses people, uses relationships to shut us down. You can say an amen to that, am I right? I mean, we've all walked that, experienced that, whether it's through hurt, disappointments, frustrations, whatever he can use, he will use anything and everything if he can shut the dream down that God has put inside of us. If he can minimize the impact of our lives. But I'm here this morning to declare to you that God is all about maximizing your life. He's all about maximizing you and me, maximizing the impact and the influence of our being. But one of the things I realize is that we have to begin to believe something differently inside. For us to be able to step into that, for us to be able to enjoy that, we have to step into a new belief. We have to begin to believe differently, am I right? Because one of the things that life begins to do is it conditions us to believe differently, to believe contrary to what this word says. Everything the enemy does, you need to understand that the reason why the devil is so hard at work to shut you and me down is because he knows the greatest threat to the kingdom of darkness is not just you and I receiving Christ and knowing that we have eternal security, but it's when you and I not only receive Christ, when his life begins to be unlocked inside of us and begins to explode, that we become the very warriors and destroyers of his kingdom. Amen? Amen. That's the thing the devil fears more than anything else, is you and I being made fully alive in him. You and I stepping to all the newness that God has for us. You know, I think of one or two of the young guys that have come into our world recently. You know, one of them sitting up there, they're both sitting next to each other, higher up, Danny and Chris. And I think of Danny, you know, meeting him at the camp and seeing this warrior spirit inside of him. And then hearing his story, How the enemy used different situations and even sadly church leadership to shut down the very thing that God has placed inside of him that will change a generation of young people. Amen? You see, what has God placed inside of every one of us? As we watched that clip, I know that most of us wanted to jump up out of our seats and clap and cheer and say, you know what, I'm going to dream again. You know what? We as a people are going to more than just dream again. It's going to begin with a dream. And the dream is going to lead to a belief. And the belief is going to lead to a manifestation, to an action that's going to unlock. Amen? That is going to unlock. Isaiah 42 verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And new things I declare, before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. I know this morning that there are some very, very sad Collingwood fans. As well as very sad Collingwood players. In fact, even straight after the game, some of them were sitting on the grass crying. I couldn't help noticing it. You know, and that's for a natural dream. How much energy, how much strength, how much passion, how much enthusiasm, how much focus people will pour into something that is merely temporal. Yet, we have an eternal dream. Yet, we have something that will not only be a momentary victory if we arrive there, if we see the breakthrough, not a momentary moment of, I mean, Geelong's all fired up. Geelong's all celebrating. But it wasn't long ago that Geelong was in the same place Collingwood is in. Am I right? You see, but here's the interesting thing is, next week, it's over. Yeah. That moment is over. There's going to be a slight, maybe lasting, slight, you know, temporary taste in their mouths. But the reality is before even this year ends, they're going to be thinking about the next premiership. A temporary crown. And you see the discipline. You see the focus. You see the energy that people will pour into to reach a temporary crown, to obtain a temporary vision. Yet we have an eternal one. Wow. I couldn't help sitting and watching that game yesterday. So if there are any Collingwood fans here this morning, the Lord bless you and the Lord comfort you. Okay, I kind of feel that way about some of the World Cup rugby teams in the next couple of weeks. You know, I know we got some Kiwis in the house and we got some South Africans in the house, you know, and we got some Wallabies, so the whole lot is here, you know. I kind of enjoy the fact that I believe that I'm pastoring a church that at least one of those teams will win the World Cup. So I can say, you know, we won the World Cup. But you know, the reality is that we all have shattered dreams. It's not about the dream being shattered. It's about the reality that we serve a God of the resurrection. And that he is the God of new things. He's the God of new days. Let me just mention a few things that I took time and I went through every single scripture that I could find, Old and New Testament. I took about 4 hours on Friday and went through every single scripture that heard the word new in it. What an exciting journey. Something began to be birthed and awakened inside of me. You know, I just began to read about all those things, and I just jotted down a few of them. You know, that attached scriptures and things. God talks about new things. He talks about new grain. He talks about new ropes. Now, I was wondering about that one. You know, new ropes. New cloaks. New cloaks. There are a number of scriptures that talks about new cloaks. None better than the prodigal son. And the father took his cloak and placed it upon his son, welcoming him. That speaks of a mantle, speaks of authority, speaks of a position, speaks of the cloak of righteousness. A new cloak, a new cart. To me, that was really interesting. They built a new cart to take the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And it had never been done before on a cart. It had always been carried on the shoulders of the priests. And I suddenly had this picture that God is all about also new methods. The interesting thing is, is God stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what's so exciting about that? Is that the place, the source of new things is unchanging. So there is a strength, there is a stability. Because often when people attempt to do new things, everything changes. But it's important to understand that the source of our new things stays the same. He's ever the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changing. But new things, new grain, new ropes, new cloaks, new cart, new house. Maybe that's for some people here. We're building a new house. I believe it's prophetic. Not just in the natural. When we embarked and God opened up the opportunity for us to begin to build a new house, we felt very clearly in the spirit that what was in the natural was in the spirit. I believe He's building a new house out of us. He's forming us, living stones, fitly framed together, to be a new house unto Him. And then, of course, in the next slide, as you'll see on the board, I put kind of a few of those little growth ones. New growth. New growth. Grow. New growth. Who could say an amen to that? How many of you want new growth in your lives? I want to encourage you, begin to believe this is a season of new growth. This is a season of new growth. We've got to begin to declare it. We've got to begin to speak it. We've got to begin to remind ourselves of it. We've got to encourage ourselves in it. It is a new season. And I had no idea. I completely forgot about the fact that this time of the year is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish calendar. New growth, new grass, new fruit, new wine, new oil. And I love this, a new song. A new song. New song. And what have we been experiencing the last weeks? We've been experiencing the prophetic song coming forth. We were going to experience a new song. And Scripture talks about a new sound. That when God begins to move, do you know that if you look historically with every single move of God in the last 2,000 years, there was always a new sound that began to accompany that move. Every single move. There is something so powerful about the sound in the spiritual realm. That's the reason why when Israel was facing the Philistines and God said, I'm going to do a new thing and I'm going to do a new way of warfare, and He said, wait until you hear the sound of the wind rustling in the mulberries. Yeah. Till you hear the sound. We're hearing a sound. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, unless you hear the sound of the trumpet, who shall prepare? You see, there's a sound coming forth. There's a sound, and I want to encourage every one of us to begin to unlock that new sound in our hearts, to begin to, in our personal time with the Lord, in our prayer and in our praise and in our worship time, that there be a new sound. What to me is so interesting in the strategy, and let me explain why we do praise and worship first. Have you ever wondered why? Somebody said to me the other day, why don't we preach first? And I said, because there's a pattern. We do things according to the pattern that is shown us. God gave a very clear instruction to Israel. He said, at the time of war, Judah shall always go forth first. What does the word Judah mean? It means praise. At the time of war, praise shall always go forth first. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. You want the habitation of God before you step into battle. You don't want the habitation of God afterwards. You want the habitation of God. There is something about the habitation of God that brings about a heavenly perspective. And so we are able to then do the warfare of heaven from a heavenly perspective and from the revelation of the lordship and the authority of God. That's why we praise first. Scripture also says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, and then goes on to talk about as you enter into the Holy of Holies. Kneel before Him, speaks of worship. See, there's a pattern. There's a pattern. There's a pattern. But in that pattern, God is wanting us to step into new dimensions, a new song. So He doesn't say change the pattern. He says come with a new song. A new song. A new song. Song of praise shall be upon my lips. And I think sometimes we get into the wrong mentality when it comes to doing warfare. We get into a place where we think we first have to bind the enemy. We have to pull down these strongholds. Oh, the devil's attacking me. Instead of actually in that moment, begin to praise Him. I want to encourage you, begin to praise Him. Begin to lift your voice. Because at the moment you do that, God inhabits. God inhabits. There is a supernatural manifestation. There is a habitation of heaven. And before you get into worrying and getting into trying to pray in Jesus' name, etc., begin to declare the praises of God. Why? I believe what Scripture says in James, that submit to the Lord, resist the devil and will flee from you. That submission to God is the submission of praise. The sacrifice of my lips, Hebrews calls it. The sacrifice of my lips. The praise that I begin to declare regardless of my circumstances. And I begin to speak out. I begin to sing a new song, a song of deliverance, a song of praise, a song of victory. And I begin to declare it, and God inhabits it. And as I begin to submit to His lordship, His authority is there, and I can resist the enemy, and he will flee. He will flee. It doesn't say he might. He will flee. So if he's not fleeing, then maybe our strategy's wrong. Amen? Let me give you a new strategy, the strategy of heaven. A new song, new growth, new grass, new fruit, new wine, new oil, a new song. What I discovered as I began to look as well at the word new song and its prophetic picture is it spoke about the fact that they began to sing a new song because they saw a new future. Wow. They saw a new future. How many of you needs a new future? Oh, yes, bring it on, Lord. Come on. Bring it on. A new future. I think there's not one of us sitting in this place this morning that doesn't have some part or some aspect of our lives where we want to see a new thing, where we want to see a new future, where we want to see different, something different to what we've experienced in the past. Who can give me a big amen? Why do I encourage you to say amen? Or why do I encourage you? It's because as you agree verbally, you actually say, so be it unto me. So be it unto me. That's what I want. You see? And God wants to give it to us. Leviticus 26 verse 10 says the following, clear out the old because of the new. Clear out the old because of the new. What was it saying? You need to make room for the new. And over the next weeks, we're going to unpack that. Even though I'm only preaching in 3 Sundays' time, I will be here the next couple of Sundays and I will be sharing a bit more, but I'd want to say this. In 3 Sundays' time, I'm going to give 3 vital keys that have absolutely changed and transformed my life and been absolutely critical to me stepping into the new things in God. And I want to share them with you. But one of the things I do want to say, in these next weeks, begin to think of what you need to clear out. Clear out the old because of the new. And let me, in the first place, speak of old mindsets. That's the very first thing we need to clear out. Old belief systems. Too many of us are still carrying the belief that God is this big, angry person sitting up in heaven just waiting for us to mess up. And he's going to slap us on the fingers or even worse, across the head. That's not who he is. Amen? We've got to change our belief and our mindset. God wants us to clear out the old references to him, the old references to church, the old references to possibly even old spiritual leadership that we've had in our lives. For us to step into the fullness of the new, we have to clear out the old. Why? Because if the old doesn't get cleared out, it begins to clutter the new and mixes in with the new, and then we get a wrong fruit coming forth. Am I right? I've seen it in my own life because I haven't dealt with emotional things correctly and I still wear those same old glasses, I enter into a new thing, a new opportunity that God gives me, but I'm still wearing the old glasses, so I begin to see everything from the old. And so when somebody says something to me, I interpret it like I used to in the old. And they never even meant it that way. Hello? And so I can't receive. Can't receive the fullness of the new. Isn't that a powerful verse? Leviticus 26 verse 10. Clear out the old because of the new. Do you know that right now, what the Jewish people do in preparing for Rosh Hashanah in this previous week, what they have done is they go through everything in their fridge, their cupboards, everything that's expired, everything that's old, everything that they literally do, and they throw it out. They throw it out. It's a good time if you're into collecting some great things on the sidewalk. It's a good time to drive around the Jewish neighborhoods. You see, it's new for you. It might be old for them, it's new for you. Amen? You know? But I love the principle. And my daughter, her best friend, they're Messianic Jews. Well, we've had, you all know, many of you know Lawrence and Louise Hirsch. And Lawrence is an old schoolmate of mine, Lawrence and Louise. And Lawrence was one of my old surfing buddies. And we survived a few near-death experiences. And, you know, Sabrina hangs out at their home a lot. And vice versa, Leora, their daughter's at our place. And I just love the richness of what their family and what they've brought into our world, because they're building a Jewish congregation, a Jewish church. They're Messianic Jews, and they've built a Messianic Jewish congregation right in the heart of where the Jews are in Melbourne. And, you know, I just love the richness of that, because Sabrina was over at their place this week and dived in and helped clean out all the old. And she and Leora had so much fun cleaning out, and she was just telling me all about it. Oh, Daddy, yes, and we were just checking this and checking. You know, we need to do it as well. We need to do it well as well. And I think it's not just that they do it practically. It's what's happening inside. It's what's happening inside. As we step into the season, it is a new season. I honestly believe that. In fact, I know it in my spirit. And it is a new season for every one of us. And in fact, the fullness of that new season is going to be realized because we clear out the old. You've got to let, there are things that many of us need to let go. There are things that many of us need to just say, you know what, it's the past. Let the past, I believe that's what Jesus was saying when he called those disciples. And he said to the one who said, oh, let me go and bury the dead. Let me go and bury my family first. And what he was saying was, he said, they are dead. It's past. Let the dead bury the dead. And follow me. You know, God is calling us to step into that new. And it's very, very exciting. And as I look across this congregation this morning, I just have such a sense in my spirit that there is going to be an unlocking within the next days and weeks, and you're going to be amazed by the end of this year of what's just happened from now till then. Wow, amen. What did he say? He gave us a new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, and we as Grow want to be the ministers of that, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The result of that new covenant. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. What a powerful thing. You see, newness has to begin within. And God doesn't leave it up to chance. And say, you know what? I do want you to have a new belief system. I want you to have a new mind, a new way of thinking. But you know what? I'm not just going to leave it to chance. I'm going to come with my Spirit. And I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Some translations say you will keep my word and you will live in it. I love that. You will keep my word. A new heart, a new spirit. And in the previous verse we read, at the end of that verse, I forgot to actually get to it, but he's given us and made us able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, for the letter kills, but of the Spirit, for the Spirit gives life. And I just sensed in my spirit this morning that all of this newness and the unlocking of it is going to be by virtue of the fact that we open ourselves up for all that the Holy Spirit has. Amen? You see, he is the pneuma of God. He is the breath of heaven. He is the one that comes in and breathes on all that was dead. He was the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Look, if you think that some of those dreams that have been shattered and broken, that they will never, ever be resurrected. Listen here, do you think Jesus in the natural had any possibility of being resurrected? Not only did he die and take the place of us as a curse and became a curse for us and descended into the abyss, descended into the very depths of hell, and all the demonic forces of all were over him. And yet the Holy Spirit Come on, people, the Holy Spirit. Come on, people, the Holy Spirit. He broke through it all. He broke through it all. He busted through and he filled the very Son of God who is in the depths of the deepest darkness. If you want to talk about a place of death, if you want to talk about a place of destruction, you want to talk about a place of despair, you want to talk about a place of discouragement, as I wrote in the newsletter, any dis that was the deepest dis that you could ever, ever imagine. And yet the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the pneuma of heaven, broke forth and broke into his spirit man and breathed the very life of God. And just as that infused him, something began to happen. A new thing that had been unknown in all of eternity. You got to understand that the resurrection in that way was something that had never, ever, ever happened before. There'd been people raised from the dead, but not the resurrection out of the depths of hell. Never! A new thing. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning. Is it doesn't matter how destructive, how that has been destroyed, whatever it's been that you have carried, and you think there's no way possible. I want to declare to you this morning that he will put his spirit within you. And I do want us to open up the altar this morning. I forgot to mention that at the beginning, but I do want to. And we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to infuse us. Who's ready for a touch from heaven? Who's ready to have something reawakened? Who's ready for that? And the result was, of course, Galatians 6:15 talks about a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation, new creature in Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 24, put on the new man, which is created in the image of Jesus. Galatians 3:10, put on and focus that new man, that new self-image, which is the image of Christ, which is being transformed into the image of Christ. I haven't got time to go through all those verses, but you see, with all new, the first thing he does is he makes us new inside. Amen. That's what the new birth is all about. That's the power of the new creation, born again of the Spirit of God. Something that to me is so powerful about the early church. You know, God birthed the early church out of a prayer meeting in a little room. 120 of them gathered. And the Holy Spirit came down, the pneuma of heaven, and anointed them, and infused them, and filled them. And the result was the birthing of the church, something that had never existed before in the history of mankind. But you know what blesses me? Is the disciples didn't take that as a one-off and said, we've had the experience. They stayed in the place of newness. They constantly cried out and said, Holy Spirit. And so we read in a number of times in further chapters that they gathered again and the Holy Spirit filled them. And they were filled with great boldness and courage and shared the word. And God added to their number daily. Why did he add to their number? Because there was so much new life flowing out of them. There was so much new life, the life of heaven, that their lives were touching their world. God didn't add to their number because they had great programs. God didn't add to their number daily because they were doing great crusades. God didn't add to their number daily because they were doing these big announcements and big gatherings. God added to their number daily because the newness of the life of Jesus was constantly manifested through them, invading everybody whose world they were in. A new and living way, new food, a new home, a new song. A new name. Lamentations 3 verse 22 and 24, which we 2 verse 24, which we know so well. In closing, it's interesting that it's Lamentations that says it, because the whole book is around lamenting over the state of Israel and the incredible death and destruction and all the rest that's going on. And here in the midst of this, the prophet writes that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's where the saying goes, his mercies are new every morning. That's where it comes from. His mercies are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You see, I have a new future. Revelations 21, verse 5, then he who sat on the throne. I love this. He's sitting in his place of authority, in his place of victory, in his place of triumph. He's sitting in his place of lordship. He's sitting in that place. And he says, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. How many need to hear that this morning? I make all things new. You know, even if you are a Collingwood supporter, that's got to be a great encouragement. You know what? It's a great encouragement for every one of us. Every day his mercies are new. And he is the God who makes all things new. And so right where you are, let's just stand. And as we embark on this month, let's allow the pneuma of heaven to breathe into so many of those areas. I honestly believe that he is here to awaken, to bring to life, to stir up, you know, and it is a new day. Who can say an amen to that? Who can say it is a new day? I want you to speak it out. It is a new day. It is a new day for me. It is a new season. It's my new season. In Jesus' name, I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. That your mercies are new for me. Right now, in Jesus' name. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you for this incredibly powerful truth. And Lord, I thank you that there is an awakening this morning in every one of us, as there has been in me in the last couple of days. Woo. Lord, I speak that out over your people. And I thank you that every lie of the enemy, every lying demon that says God is not able, that they have passed and missed the purpose of God, whatever he has used, Lord, I break its power right now in Jesus' name. And I set your people free in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that they walk into that newness. For they are new creations in Christ. For it is a new day. Yes, it is a new season. And you are doing new things. And you are able to make all things new. I thank you, Father, that in the area of their personal lives, their relationships, Lord, their family, their friends, Lord, in business, career, in every single area, I speak your newness into right now. Lord, into their financial position, a great newness of abundance and prosperity. We unlock your fullness, Father, in your newness, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give Jesus a big hand of praise this morning. Come on. Come on. Oh, yes, Lord. It is a new day. It is a new day. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, new things. New things. A new day. A new day in Jesus' name. I just want the worship team to come on up, guys. And I want us to close. But in closing, I really do, I want to open up the altar. And if there's any of you, and you know, I said, we're going to clear out the old. If there's any person here, and there is something regarding the old that has so cluttered your life, and so squashed and squeezed, or it's a root, or it's anything like that, that needs to be cleared out, I want to open up the altar. I'm going to ask Keith and Marilyn and Debbie and the ministry team just to be down here to pray. Amen? We are going to take authority over that thing. And we are going to release the newness of God. Amen. And what song do you have for us, guys?
Yep.
I think that,
I just got to put my shoes on.
No problem.
What song?
Your love never fails.
Your loving?
Your love never fails. Again.
Your love never fails. I think that's a perfect one for us. Amen. Okay, let's go with the joy of the Lord. Join us next door for coffee and fellowship and be blessed. And it is a new day in Jesus' name.